Amen. And when you see him, you'll be changed. It's impossible to stay the same. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, the second chapter. We are on a topic, subject of sanctification. This subject grew out of a study of what happens when we're saved. Many things, many words in the Bible explain the vast subject of salvation. The word redemption means to be bought out of. Justified means to be put back right. Ransomed, redeemed. All of these words. Regenerated means a new life comes within. We're changed. We're saved. And when that is done, and all of these things happen in a split second. They are something that God does, and we can't set a timeline on them. We just put a different topic of teaching where for clarity's sake, but all these things happen when we're saved. But this subject of sanctification is different. It is both a one-time act, and it is also a process that goes on. It means two things. It means to be set apart, and then it means to be made holy. Let's read chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, and then we will do a little review and finish our lesson tonight. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You may be seated. For a little review, sanctification and justification, let's contrast the two. Let's look at them, compare them. Justification deals with our standing. It's what we are in Christ. We are justified. Our standing in Jesus Christ will never change. This morning we found out that we were sons of God through Christ. That standing does not change. Justification deals with that standing. We are secure in Christ. But sanctification deals with our state. In other words, how our heart is on the inside. There's where the work takes place. So my standing will never change if I'm saved. My state needs to be changed every day. From glory to glory to glory into His image. If my state is not being changed, I need to ask myself why. What's the change mechanism? Jesus tells us, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Friend, the change machine, if you will, the changer is the word of God, and it is the Holy Spirit. So my standing in Christ is secure, but my state, how I am on the inside, needs to be changed every day. Justification is what God does for us. Hey, I'm justified. When I stand before Him, I'll stand there made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what He has done for me. That is what He has done for you. But sanctification is what He does in us. He did justify us. That's what He did for us. We couldn't do that. But sanctification is a process. It's what He is doing in us. By the way, we work in tandem with Him. That's what Jesus said when he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." There was a man tried to give me his holy book the other day. Nothing to him but I take his holy book. I don't know why I need his holy book. It's written in Arabic. But he wanted me to have it. I refused his holy book on two or three grounds. But number one, I got more in my book than I can live up to. You do too. I don't have to go back to the Old Testament. I've got plenty to occupy myself in the New. I don't have to look at another book. Friend, this is the Word of God. Amen. When we hear it, when we put it in place, that'll keep us busy for a while. Just use the one you got. Amen. Study it, live by it, and that process will be carried out. Justification is the means. That's what God does. The means is justification. He imputes us or gives us righteousness through justification. But he has a purpose or an end in mind, and it is our sanctification. Do you realize that those whom he has called, he saved, and he predetermined to change us into the image of the Son? That's good news. That's what he's going to do. Now hear me, I did not say that's what he's trying to do. My God doesn't try to do anything. I'm glad he doesn't try to do anything. He never fails. Now I try to do a lot of things and fail miserably a bunch of times. But he hasn't failed yet. You say, well, that work's not done in me. He is not finished with you. Amen. And I found out a long time ago I could stay out of trouble, live with a whole lot less conviction on me if I just obey the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Justification is the means. Sanctification is the end. Justification declares us good, while sanctification makes us good. So it's an ongoing thing. Sanctification is twofold. It means to be set apart. It also means in the New Testament to be made holy. Now we have an Old Testament use of the word before us in the third verse. And God blessed the seventh day. So he sets apart days and seasons. And the one we're looking at tonight is the Sabbath. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, or set it apart for his purpose. Now, how does that fit in the New Testament? May I say to you that we are set apart for God's purposes, aren't we? We're set apart for his glory. We're set apart to serve him. So we have a New Testament application. But let's stay right with the scripture. He sanctified or set apart the seventh day. I wonder why. He had a purpose for it. What is the purpose of the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath was a day of celebration. In the Old Testament, we know that God made the world in 6 days and rested the seventh. Isn't that true? So the seventh day commemorated was a day set apart or sanctified to honor God, to celebrate a finished work of creation. That scripture right there will tell you that this world is not going to evolve. It didn't evolve. Evolution. It's not going to evolve anymore. It had a creator. And God's made a day for them to celebrate his creation. And the Sabbath, which was Saturday, was a day of celebration, celebrating a complete work of creation. What's our Sabbath? Our Sabbath is not a day. Our Sabbath is a person. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. For you see, as they celebrated a finished work of creation, we celebrate a finished work of redemption. Well, is there a set-apart day to do that? Just started meddling then, didn't I? It is. It's the Lord's Day. So we have a day set apart. And while we don't hold to it as hide-bound legalists, yet His church has come together every Lord's Day morning to celebrate Him. Amen. So days are set apart for a purpose. Seasons were sanctified. Physical objects were sanctified. Exodus, the 19th chapter. We're just looking at some meanings of the word to set apart or to sanctify in the Old Testament. They set apart the Sabbath for a purpose. We're going to find out that there's an object set apart here for a purpose. Exodus 19, 23. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai. For thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and sanctify it. Oh, he set apart a object, a mountain, for a purpose. What's going to happen on that mountain that's set apart for him? Well, the answer to that's obvious. Moses is going to go up. He's going to receive the Ten Commandments. He's going to stay with God there for 40 days. That was God's purpose. So he sanctified a place to meet with God. Or God sanctified a place to meet with Moses. I wonder, does he sanctify a place to meet with us? I wonder, is there a special set apart place? Is it? Well, number one, it's right in here, isn't it? It's in our heart. And I believe we as His people meet collectively in a sanctified place on a sanctified day to serve a holy God. That's not hard to see, is it? Sanctified. So sanctification is days, seasons, physical objects. People were to sanctify themselves. Leviticus 11:44. Then we'll go to the New Testament. 11:44. We're looking at the meaning of to set apart. Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, for I am the Lord that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So the word sanctified has three meanings. It means to, first of all, a special day set apart, a special place set apart to meet with God. And now special people that set apart. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Do you know that's speaking of? That's speaking of the Lord's people. We ought to aggressively, violently set ourselves apart to assault the kingdom of God with praise and worship. Oh. The Bible doesn't teach casual Christianity. Doesn't teach a casual walk with the Lord. We ought to violently grasp for the kingdom principles and live them out. Amen. Why? Because just as He sanctified the people of Israel when He called them out of Egypt and called them over into the promised land, friend, He likewise sanctified us and set us apart out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we ought to seize that and desire that. Amen. because we have been set apart and sanctified to do it. So that's the meaning of set apart, looking at the Old Testament in light of the New in light of the Old, and hey, there's always a spiritual counterpart to what we see take place under the Old Covenant. Now, Romans the 6th chapter, and we'll finish sooner or later. Romans chapter 6. The process. I am set apart for His glory. But now there is a process to be carried out in my life. And I have a part of it. There is a process of sanctification. And we have something to do with it. I'm waiting on amen. Verse 1, chapter 6, Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it, the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now keep your Bible open, because we're going to be referring back to these 13 verses. Now we are talking about the process. Sanctification is set apart, but sanctification also means to be made holy. Remember, justification is how God does it, but He has an end in mind, and it is our being made holy. The process starts, and here you have the plain path of it in the 6th chapter. I want to give you 4 words. You might even want to underline these words in your Bible. I have them underlined in mine because I need to do this again tomorrow morning when I wake up. That is a process, isn't it? I mean, I can't just sort of wave something over you and already be done. No, no. This is a process. The first word is know ye. Verse 3. Know. It's something we got to know. The second word is the word reckon. There's some things we got to reckon. And then the last word is the word yield. To yield. And then in 16, we didn't read that far, but the word obey. The word obey. Let's look at these 4 words and what they mean. First of all, there's something we have to know. Now, I know 2 plus 2 is 4. Isn't it still 4? I know we have new math, but I think I kept it simple for me. 2 plus 2 is 4. Now, that is true. It doesn't matter where it feels like it's 5 or it feels like it's 3. 2 plus 2 is what? 4. So it's a fact, isn't it? It's a mathematical fact. 2 plus 2 is 4, whether I feel like it or not. Whether I agree with it or not. It's just a fact. I just know that. In fact, I was taught that in the first grade. 2 plus 2 is 4. Act on that. There's some things you know. Has nothing to do with feelings. Has nothing to do with what somebody else might tell you. It's just a fact and you know it. Well, that's the meaning of that word know right there. It means to understand something, to know it to be true. Irregardless of what the world might think about it. Irregardless of what I might feel. Because in the morning, I got to drive a school bus. And I might not necessarily feel saved in the morning when I get up. But I don't go by feeling. Do you? Go by faith. So we know something. Know what? Well, there are 3 things here that we need to understand. Well, there's more than 3, but I want to give you 3 about the new man first. There are some things that we just got to know. Why can we be certain of them? Because an unchangeable God did an unchangeable work. I know it's true because God did it. Well, what did He do? First of all, we have been baptized. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Now, listen close. The word baptized right there has nothing to do with water. Nothing whatsoever to do with water. Baptism in this sense speaks of a union. Well, what does it mean when we do baptize with water? We're celebrating our union in Christ. The water doesn't do it. We just symbolize in what's already been done. So here we've been baptized into Jesus Christ. Not in water. He didn't say we've been baptized in water. He said we've been baptized into who? Look at it. Jesus Christ. Let me give you 3 things you got to know. First of all, that I have been baptized, number 1, into His death. You see, if I'm going to grow in grace, that's another term for sanctification. If I'm going to be changed, number 1, first thing I got to know is the old man, as far as the Father's concerned, is dead. Well, look at your Bible. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Now, what does that mean? Practically speaking, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, the Father saw me. He died in my place, that substitutionary atonement. But the Father sees you and He sees me co-crucified in Jesus, baptized. In other words, His death is our death. I thank God for that, for that old man of sin will never have to stand in the judgment. That's good news. Not only are we united or baptized into His death, we are baptized into His burial. We are buried with Him by baptism into death. Oh, not only is His death my death and your death, His burial. He carried my sins far away. Hello? That's great, isn't it? I met the old man, the wretched man that I was. Remember, I'm being changed. All of that sin from my past life was placed upon Him and He carried it into the grave. You see, something dead stinks, don't it? And my stinking old dead self is carried out of the nostrils of a holy God. And instead of smelling my rotten dead carcass, he smells the sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ. Some things we got to know here. Whether we feel like it or not, in Christ I have been crucified with him. I have been buried with him. And he didn't stay in the grave, did he? No. Read it. For if we have been planted together, this is verse 5, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. 3 days later, he came out of the grave and I came out with him spiritually. I have been born again. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things passed away. Well, where did they go? They went into the grave. Amen. We symbolize that in water up here. You realize that, don't you? And a new man came forth. And a new man has hope now. That even at the end of this age, there shall be a new body come forth. Because then the corruptible shall put on incorruption. The mortal shall put on immortality, and the last enemy, which is death, shall be swallowed up in victory. Now listen, we need to know that. You didn't do a thing to do it. It's an accomplished work in Jesus Christ that will never be undone. There is not enough devils in hell to undo what Jesus has done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we need to know that. Then we got to reckon something. Let's reckon a little bit. Now, reckon means to act upon facts, not feelings. To act upon fact, not feeling. It means to consider it to be so. I've given you three things. You died with Christ, you've been buried with Christ, you shall be raised with Christ. The old man has passed away. Now we need to reckon. Well, let's read it. Verse 11. Likewise reckon, or consider something to be a fact. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. To reckon, to consider these things that you have just heard to be so. It doesn't mean you act upon feelings, you act upon fact. You consider it as done, that you are dead. Now, what does that have to do with the process of sanctification? Well, how many of you understand that temptation is going to come? And even though you are dead, buried, and raised spiritually in Jesus Christ, the enemy that tempted our Lord in the wilderness is going to tempt us. Now, we don't have the excuse, the devil made me do it. Flip Wilson got away with it for a long while, but you can't for 1 minute. Because you're free and free indeed. Amen? We wrestle against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, and wickedness in high places. But he didn't say to give in. He said, after you've done all to stand, do what? Keep standing. Keep standing. So on this process of sanctification, being changed from glory to glory, you understand that the enemy is going to tempt you. Now, how much place should that find in you? How should you react to that? Well, just like a dead man. Now, I've got to use something we all understand here to make a point. We've all been to the funeral home. And people say some odd things are there, but they're doing it to bring comfort to this air for the family. But they'll look over in that box and they'll say, they sure look good. Now how can they look good? They're dead. Or they'll look over and they'll say, sure look bad. Well sure they do, they're dead. Y'all heard those things, haven't you? And I've seen people say that, and then they're trying to comfort one another. But I've noticed something. Every time they say that, I look over, and that dead person never smiles. He looks good, and they don't go. Or he looks bad, and they don't get offended. They just lay there. Why? Because they're dead. Do you understand when the temptation to do evil comes to you, you are dead to that? You see, they are not there. They do not let that get into their thinking. They're already in glory for the Christian. And when the temptation comes, you ought to approach that temptation the same way. I'm dead, buried, and raised in Jesus Christ. I'm living in a new world. I'm a new creature, and that don't even bother me. When the desire to give somebody a piece of your mind and you really don't have a piece to spare comes up, and somebody gives you that peace of mind they don't have to spare, what do you do? What are you? You are dead. Y'all understand what reckon means now? It means to act upon these facts. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I am dead to this. It doesn't bother me. And when the temptation to sin comes, whether it be to act upon the lust of the flesh or to act out of the flesh in some way, hey, I'm dead to that. I'm living in a new place. I got a new life. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I sure did want to strike back. I sure did want to do this. I sure did want to have it my way. Whatever, however application you need, you can't. Dead people don't do anything. God has the strength to help us stay dead. Amen. Amen. Reckon it to be so. I don't feel dead. I sure would like to do whatever. I don't feel dead. It don't matter. We're not going by how you feel. We're going by what? What the Word of God says. So the words are know that you're dead, buried, and raised, and planted in Christ. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sins. And now here comes some more of the process. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You're going to yield yourself to something. I'll prove it to you. That tongue in your mouth is going to be well employed doing something. Amen. I mean, we use it. We yield it, but to what? Oh, that's where decision comes in. James says, out of a fountain should not flow sweet water nor bitter water. Our tongue can be a blessing, or it can be a curse. With that tongue, we can worship our God, we can pray for our brothers, we can tell the gospel. With that same tongue, we can let it be set on fire of hell. Hello. And we can bring a curse on ourselves. Do I need to go on any further? What you going to yield yourself to? Feet down on the end of your legs down there. They can either carry you away from God's house or to God's house. What you going to yield to? Those eyes can either read the Word of God or they can feast on things that will be unwholesome for you. And I'm speaking to the gentleman particularly. What you going to yield to? That telephone, it can invite somebody to church or it can cut somebody's throat. Hello? You determine what you yield to. I love the Bible, don't y'all? It's such a comforting book, isn't it? You make the choice. You see, we ought to make the choice based upon the absolute fact that I am a new creature in Jesus Christ, and temptation to sin and to act out according to sin in the flesh is dead unto me, and I am going to yield myself unto God, verse 13, as one that is alive from the dead, and my members, or my body, the parts of my body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. Hey, that's how you serve Him. Get real busy doing that, and you won't need anybody else's holy book in Arabic or any other language. Amen? Because that's a seven-day project right there for me and thee. Say, Pastor, I still love you. They didn't say it, did they? And after that, we just flesh it all out by obeying Him. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey. Jesus clarified that. The Pharisees said they were Abraham's seed and had never been in bondage. That's what they said, wasn't it? He says, if you were of your father Abraham, you would rejoice to see my day. He said, you are not Abraham's seed. You are Satan's seed. Wow. Who are you yielding to? That's what He's saying here. That's the question He's asking. What do you consistently yield to? If you consistently yield to the devil, guess who you belong to? If you consistently yield to God. 1 John, John said it like this. He said, if one is saved, they cannot sin. That's said two or three times in John, in 1 John. A man that is born of God cannot sin. Now, just what does that mean? I know something about me. If I don't practice what we're talking about here in Romans 6, I can sin easy. Have you figured that out about you? I mean, I can do it easy without any problem. What's it mean? Any man is born of God cannot sin. Well, he clarifies it. He said, for his seed remaineth in him. In other words, when somebody's saved, the seed or the nature of God is in him. And the nature of God within is not going to allow me to practice sin. You see, good people can be bad every once in a while. And bad people, now listen to me, young'uns, listen, children, and bad people can be good every once in a while. But what we are over the long haul is what we are. Character is based over time. And if I can practice sin over time, I've never, ever been saved. Y'all like the Bible, don't you? It's a good book. It won't lead you wrong. Whoever you obey, that's who you belong to. That's what he says in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Well, what happens when a Christian does sin? Well, 1 John says we have an advocate with the Father, and we can go to Him and be forgiven. How are we going to know we need to be forgiven? Because the seed of God dwells in us. Well, who is the seed of God? Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something. He makes bad company when a Christian tries to get off into sin. Amen? He makes a bad bed partner. You don't sleep well. Amen? Fellowship, not like you'd like it to be. You see, his seed in me won't put up with me living in sin. Amen. So we have a process before us here. One of knowing what God has done. One of reckoning it to be so, whether or not it feels so. I mean, two and two is true, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, or whether you sit in there and feel like two and two is four. It's fact. And it's the fact that I've been set apart and saved in Jesus Christ. And now I spend the rest of my life yielding. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, the Bible says God is not mocked. For what he sows, what's he going to get? That shall he reap. If you don't want to reap the harvest, don't sow the seed. If you don't want to reap the harvest, you yield to what is right. You yield your members to instruments of righteousness, and you obey him as a servant of his, as a bond slave of him. And you know something? You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. You know, I used to think Christianity must be the most boring thing in the world. All of these things God put in there that I can't do. But I found out something. He keeps me away from that that's a curse to me. He keeps me away from that which harms me. Settle it in your mind. God knows best. And obey him. Amen. And when you get old and bald and gray-headed, you'll understand it is best to serve God. Amen. Let's close with 1 Thessalonians 5. We mentioned this verse last week. We'll close our section on sanctification with it. Fitting to do so because Paul is waiting on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so are we. We're not living in a different world. We're living in the same world with the same problems. Same temptations. Same need. What does God want? Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now that sanctify there means set apart and make you holy completely. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the verse I want to get to. Faithful. Friend, we serve a faithful God. Amen. Now hear me. He's faithful to finish the work. Don't resist him. Be easier on old clothes if you wouldn't. Amen. Be easier on you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. May I close tonight with saying there is a power available unto you to flesh out what you have heard here tonight. There is a power available unto us to help us live in this Christ-denying world in a godly, holy way. And when the temptation comes, there is a power available unto you to strengthen you in it, above it, and through it for His glory. Do you realize the Bible says we have not for a reason? We have not because we ask not. Let's stand tonight.